Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined, as always, by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And, of course, that was the sounds of a play that should have never happened. But it was fantastic to watch.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was amazing. I obviously, yeah, we'll probably get into that, but definitely made for a fun highlight.
Yeah, it definitely did. You don't see that every day, and we are fully into football now. We got NFL, we got college football. I know we're going to talk basically just about football tonight, so it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, so where to start, I guess.
Let's do it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, we got just a full slate of NFL games this week. There were no really any good college games to pick from, at least. But we started off Panthers-Broncos Thursday night. Kind of a rematch. Not really. A lot of different players on both sides, or a few of them, but still same result. Broncos ended up pulling it off after was Graham Gano missed the field goal at the end.
Yeah. Pretty frustrating game. Has to be for the Panthers. You've been waiting for this ever since it was scheduled. And it just felt like kind of an extension of last year, at least on the Broncos end. On defense, they basically, you know, were the same team. They're gonna bully you and hit you and make some plays. But yeah, unfortunately, the Panthers still couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and They had the same game plan of hit Cam Newton early in Austin, and they continue to do that. I think a lot of the talk from that game was, of course, the hits that Cam took and the lack of penalties that were called. And I don't know, what did you think?
Yeah, he was taking shots.
Did you think there were a couple shots in there that should have been flagged that weren't?
Yes, definitely. If I went back and looked, I think there were three plays that were pretty blatant, and only one of them got called, and of course it was on a offsetting penalty because he had to throw the ball away because he was getting harassed so much. but I mean, I guess it does kind of make sense. I mean, you tend to see bigger guys, at least bigger for the quarterback position, guys like Cam Newton, guys like Ben Roethlisberger, that you see these guys take a lot of punishment and a lot of stuff doesn't get called on them, I guess because it looks like they can handle it. I don't really understand how that should be, but I mean, if you're so worried about protecting the quarterback, I mean, last night, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is literally nobody compared to Cam Newton, as far as, you know, the quarterback scale, and he's getting late hit calls and stuff. So, I mean, we've got guys literally launching their helmets into Cam's face mask, and he doesn't seem like he's getting any benefit of the doubt there, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I had only seen two. I thought the Von Miller one was pretty that one was really close to me. I thought maybe he kind of got bumped into him. I don't think he was going at his head, but definitely the one where he got the penalty and where the guy launched at him, which I also think NFL should look at. I don't know what you think, but I think personal foul penalty should out-trump another penalty. It's kind of – I think it's weird that after a play you could shove someone or something, and but if the team had got a penalty before that, they'd just offset.
Yeah, no, they definitely got to do something. If this is going to keep happening, because I mean, I don't want to put it all on the Broncos, but they're kind of the more obvious ones doing it, I guess. I mean, this may not be the best comparison, but I kind of think it's similar to kind of what the Seahawks did when they first kind of that secondary first kind of started playing really well, and you know, Legion of Boom and all that stuff. When you know, kind of with that philosophy of if you're committing a penalty every time or enough times, like the refs aren't going to call it every time. So like with legal contact or whatever, they're going to get away with everything they can. I think that's exactly what the Broncos are doing, except they're just taking it to another level with like the intimidation of we're gonna hit you in the head, we're gonna hit you late. And just try and be as mean, as nasty, and intimidating as possible, and it seems to work for him. That's the kind of scary thing, but something's got to be done. If it can't just be a 15-yard penalty, or if they miss it, like has been the case, some of these guys get away with it. Oh well, they go back and they just fine them later. Well, that's obviously not deterring it.
Yeah, and I also thought the intentional grounding there on Cam, he threw it away because he had to brace for himself. I mean, the refs aren't protecting him, so he has to protect himself. And if it is about playing,
and getting rid of the ball is his last ditch effort to keep him from getting hit as hard.
Yeah, so I definitely think things need to be changed, and I got a stat here for you. Do you know how many roughing the passer penalties was called on Cam Newton last season?
Two?
Zero.
Oh,
it's
see,
zero.
I was thinking that maybe, maybe something. But, yeah, it's funny because, I mean, I guess, you maybe look at Big Ben, see what his looks like. I mean, I guess it's possible he probably gets a couple calls more just because, and that's the other thing is, Andrew Luck, he's a younger guy. He's
he's a big man,
I guess,
too.
You could say, quote unquote, sneaky athletic. But yeah, I mean, sometimes he's out here taking a lot of shots,
but he might just be athletic.
more because of his offensive line. But I guess you could also say that the Steelers and Panthers don't have the best offensive lines, but
you
can't have these guys taking shots to the head and if you want to protect them, and shots to the lower leg, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the premise, you got to call it. Even if they're 6'6", 250, whatever freakish size Cam Newton is. I mean, he's the biggest guy out there, but he's still the quarterback, and he still has the same rules that other quarterbacks have.
Yeah, and I mean, like it or not, the NFL wants to protect the investment, if you will, at quarterback. Like Cam Newton was MVP, he was the face of the league last year. You gotta keep that guy on the field.
Yeah, most definitely. And there's also a lot of question about the penalty. I can't remember the guy who did it, but the guy who launched at him, and there was a lot of talk about Cam and if the NFL and the Panthers medical staff handled it right, because a lot of people thought he for sure had a concussion. I mean, he got hit and he laid there for a minute, and it didn't look good, but he didn't even come out of a play. So that was pretty interesting, pretty weird. I think if that would have been not Cam Newton, they possibly would have had a concussion test.
I mean, that's another thing. I guess there's going to be investigations into it or whatever, the NFL. I mean, it's hard to trust that the NFL is going to be thorough about this. They've obviously been fighting all the concussion studies and everything the entire way and these rules. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see what comes out of there.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have anything else from this game you wanted to talk about?
Not much. I mean, Denver's offense relied on the running game because that's kind of what Gary Kubiak wants to do. He was finally able to have a quarterback from under center and run the offense how he wanted to. I guess that must have surprised the Panthers, because especially towards the end of the game. But yeah, Trevor Siemian was not good. So they should squash any narratives that he won that game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some people were talking after the game like he had a decent game. I thought it was a really bad game. I thought most of his yards he got came off of a couple screens that C.J. Anderson got, and he threw the two picks, of course, on some pretty bad throws. But, I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, but nope, that's all I got there, if you want to move on.
All right, let's go on here. Before we get to our teams, I guess we should talk Bengals-Jets. It was Sunday at noon. We both picked the Bengals. Bengals pulled it out, one of 4 1-point victories over the weekend. And, the Bengals looked pretty good. A.J. Green absolutely roasted Darrelle Revis all day.
That's a good
sign. He looked awesome.
Yeah, so Darrelle Revis just might be on the permanent decline. Andy Dalton throwing to A.J. Green at a perfect passer rating was 10 of 10 for 158 yards and a touchdown. If that's going to happen, not at all. I mean, then obviously A.J. Green's good, but yeah, if you're going to – yeah, Revis Island, definitely a lot easier to get onto nowadays.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Before the season even started, he actually mentioned something about he wouldn't be opposed to moving to safety at some point in his career, when at the beginning of his career that would have never happened. So I kind of wonder if he saw this coming a little bit, and by moving to safety, he could maybe prolong his career just like Charles Woodson did. And I think he could do it. And, yeah, I think that he would help the Jets out, but the Jets need a match.
Yeah, no, I think – yeah, especially for what they signed him to. I think that makes a lot of sense. He must have an idea. It's funny, I was actually listening to a PFF podcast earlier, and they were talking about the same thing, but he must have an idea that he's losing it, because it's just not the same. I think that'd be really good for him, because he could return back to being a top defensive back if his responsibilities just changed a little.
I think it'd be a little tough transition at first. Was for Woodson, but once he got the hang of it, he was one of the best in the league at that position, in my opinion. I think Revis is I think he senses it. The first thing that goes is your quickness the older you get, and Revis was never the fastest guy, but it was all about his quickness and how fast he could turn with receivers and be able to stay with them. Once that's gone, it's kind of hard to play cornerback anymore.
Yeah, definitely. As far as the rest of the game goes, I guess it was a little back and forth, but it seemed to me kind of boring. The Jets had a missed field goal and a missed extra point, so that kind of came back to bite them. Other than that, kind of typical Ryan Fitzpatrick and typical Bengals.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall was pretty quiet in the game, had a big drop at one point. The Jets, I see about 7-9 in there.
Yeah, no, it's, which, I mean, might as well just not brought Ryan Fitzpatrick back if that's the case. But I guess we'll see. There's still a lot of talent on that defense. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what's next? Which one of the top two quarterbacks in the league do you want to talk about next?
Well, I guess we should go Browns Eagles here, and I want to first say that I apologize. I didn't believe, and I actually picked the Browns.
That's right.
And I feel
and who picked the Eagles?
And I feel very disappointed. Yeah, you picked the Eagles. And
I
went Browns.
Hashtag Cheagles.
And I wasn't sure about Carson Wentz's first start. I thought that the Eagles just going to pass up on the trade offer. And they didn't think he was ready, but they obviously did think he was ready. They let him throw 37 times. Definitely looks like Doug Peterson came from Andy Reid tree. But yeah, he looked really good. Didn't turn the ball over. He threw the ball away when he had to. He didn't care about his completion percentage in that regard. He had a couple beautiful touchdown passes, one past Joe Hayden. It's wincing time.
Yeah, I those touchdown throws were really impressive. Jordan Matthews looked really good, had 114 yards plus his touchdown. I wasn't a believer in Carson Wentz, but this is definitely intriguing. It was the Browns, so there is that caveat, but definitely encouraging signs. If he can continue to improve and be ready for the challenges that when he plays real defenses, but definitely sky's the limit, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to have his bumps and bruises this season. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's not going to be like that every game. But I definitely think this is encouraging. I mean, the number one pick can't even get dressed. So at this point, I think that's a win. I'm officially a member of Carsonville, Winsylvania.
Wow. So yeah, when's the jersey coming and what color?
Definitely got to go midnight green, and I don't know yet. Hopefully soon.
All right. One more thing. How cool was Jason Peters catching Ryan Matthews in midair?
That was pretty awesome. Jason Peters, strong man. And also, Ryan Matthews, he looked pretty good. Obviously, the biggest question with him is his health. And if he can be able to play more than half the season or so, but if he can, he is a good running back. I mean, he does a decent job. He has some fumble issues at times and injuries, but yeah, I mean it's the best they have right now.
I guess one more thing for the Browns. RG3 was pretty mediocre, and now I guess it's hurt. So, that is definitely a shame. I know that we're kind of hoping for kind of that reclamation project. He was back. He was with a coach that could work with him and was hopefully going to get Josh Gordon back and have some weapons after they drafted all those receivers. And that's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it was kind of scary to think about there in the first half about Terrell Pryor and Josh Gordon on the outside RG3, but looks like it's not going to happen. He appears he's
yeah,
not going to play.
Corey Coleman didn't look terrible either.
Yeah, he kind of dropped some balls there at the beginning, but he looks pretty good after he got kind of settled in. Harry Barnage did not look very great. He dropped a lot of passes. I don't think he even caught one on the day. But, yeah, bad news for the Browns, and it looks like they'll have another quarterback. I think it's Josh McCown back in there for them. So
McCown rides
the game. It's going to be a long year, Cleveland.
So just like every year then?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't matter because Cavs blew a 3-1 – or the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Exactly. And, of course, you got the Wendians in there.
Yeah, gotta focus on the positives. All right, let's move on to the best quarterback in the league, Alex Smith. no, but seriously, the game was kind of crazy. Obviously, the Chiefs were down 24 points in the third quarter. But I will say that Keenan Allen getting injured definitely changed the game. He had six catches and 63 yards in the quarter and a half. He was inside Marcus Peters' head and then some. Chiefs defense had no answer for what San Diego was doing on offense until he got hurt, and then San Diego's offense completely disappeared and allowed Kansas City to get back in the game. Their offense finally started clicking. Alex ended up with 360 yards and two touchdowns and led that overtime drive and took it in himself. Spencer Ware had a great game, almost 200 total yards of offense and a touchdown. He was definitely their best skill position player. But Kelce and Macklin also had some big catches. I am worried about that defense, though.
Yeah, I'll give Spencer Ware 200 yards. He had 199, so.
Yeah.
he looks phenomenal. It's kind of scary to think about when you can use him and Jamaal Charles. It's going to be such a change. And Spencer Ware could start for a lot of teams in the league. He surprised me and definitely probably a lot of other people. But, yeah, Alex Smith, he looked really good, at least in the second half. And I actually, when he took that game winner into the end zone, I'd never seen that guy more fired up after that.
Right.
It was crazy to see. But Chiefs looked really good. Chargers looked like kind of like the Chargers like we expected. And it was definitely a tale of two halves because – Chiefs looked really good in one half and did not look so hot in the other half. But they were able to pull it out. I think this is going to be a huge boost to them the rest of the year. They're going to have to stay pace with Denver, it would appear, and Oakland looked pretty good. But kind of worried about both Kansas City and Oakland's defense in that division. I thought Kansas City would be fine. But they really can't get a pass rush. That first half, Phillip Rivers just sat back there all day and was able to find whoever he wanted. They started to get a little more pressure in the second half. I think they started to blitz a little more, and they shut down the run game, which helped them and their defensive backs.
Yeah, no, they couldn't do anything in the first half. They couldn't get pressure. They couldn't cover anybody. They couldn't tackle. It was pretty awful. They let Melvin Gordon into the end zone twice. that in itself is kind of alarming. He actually did look a little better. I'll give him credit, but they really should have. There's a few, definitely a lot of missed tackles. They did not look good. If they can't get a pass rush, everybody's going to score on them. You're supposed to have a defensive line that is, you know, supposed to help these outside guys get home. But yeah, D Ford can't do anything but speed rush, and he only had. Luckily, he got. The one time he did get through, he made it count and got a sack there late in the fourth quarter. But they definitely need more. Tom Bailey obviously isn't going to be playing the entire game, so they need it to come from somewhere. I don't understand why Desmond Moses had to be cut. Him and Daddy Nicholas were the only guys that looked like they were consistently flashing, getting, or at least showing an ability to get to the quarterback. I don't know. Hopefully, Justin Houston's back or somebody steps up, because they definitely need it in order for that defense to work. That secondary is too inexperienced. It still needs some time.
Yeah, that sack there late in the fourth, I think that was the only sack on Phillip Rivers all day.
It was,
which is not good. Kansas City definitely needs to get more pressure. Don Terry Poe, obviously up the middle, he's not going to be able to get you the sack.
No,
team,
and it's
supposed
to, it should really be on Jay Howard and Alan Bailey. They had, I think the stat was they had 51 combined snaps and zero combined pressures. Yeah, no, that can't happen, especially with Jay Howard. He was the guy, at least at defensive end last year, that was consistently getting pressures when he was in. And if he's not, then, yeah, it's not helping anybody.
Yeah, definitely not. And that would only help Dee Ford, and I'm not even sure who's on the other side, but, yeah.
Tamba Ali. I mean, that's the other thing. It's Tamba Ali, who's not playing full time, and then it's Dee Ford, who is a one trick pony, and half the time that trick doesn't even work. And then you've got Frank Zombo.
All right, I was gonna say that, but I wasn't sure if he was still there.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he got. Probably got the most snaps at outside linebacker yesterday if Dee Ford didn't hurt. Yeah. But yeah, we can stop talking about this now if you want.
Yeah. Let's get here. Any more NFL news you want to get to, talk about,
last time we talked about Colin Kaepernick and that whole situation, I said that I kind of figured it would just kind of go away because it just seemed like one of those things that people are just going to want to be outraged about and then drop. Well, I mean, it's obviously not. It's picking up a lot of steam, and I just think that's really good to see.
Yeah, definitely a lot more players getting into it, and the showing of unity by the locking of the arms and everything, it's pretty powerful, and definitely good to see.
Yeah, as long as keep the conversation going, progress can be made, so that's always positive.
Yeah, and they're doing it non-violently, and you couldn't ask for a better way to for them to speak their mind. So, definitely good to see. Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it for the NFL for now. Let's talk about some college football.
Let's do it.
All right.
Slow week.
Yeah, the college football kind of knows to schedule around the NFL opening week.
Marquee matchups. Made the big splash in the first week. One of the best first weeks we've had. The second week, you can't have great weeks like that all the time here at the beginning until you get into conference play, really. So, it ended up being a couple good games in here. TCU ended up falling to Arkansas in overtime, double overtime, I believe, actually. Of course, we had the biggest crowd in college football history with Virginia Tech and Tennessee. That was actually my upset pick last week. It looked good at the beginning. Virginia Tech actually came out to a 14-0 lead, but Tennessee, they really struggled with their passing game at the beginning, but once they started to get it, they just took control of the game and ended up winning 45-24, and I think maybe they kind of woke up here a little bit. They were one of the favorites in the East, in the SEC East, so they definitely didn't look like it at the beginning, and it looks like Florida's going to be a real challenge this year for them. If they've got some decent quarterback play. Florida can beat anyone in the SEC. Of course, they're going to have one of the best defenses usually every year. And yeah, they always have skill position players. So, yeah, I got my upset wrong.
No, yeah, good to see Tennessee kind of bounce back after their slow start. But yeah, no, the SEC is definitely wide open after Alabama. You don't really know who's gonna step up there, especially in the East. Because yeah, you've definitely got the early favorite of Tennessee, but Georgia's always going to be there, and like you said, Florida. So.
Kind of
definitely going to be an interesting race to see who loses to Alabama.
Yeah, I'm kind of off the Georgia bandwagon. I believe they were 30.
No,
favorite.
I think everybody will jump back on when they beat down Missouri next weekend.
Yeah, maybe, but they were favored by like 30 points over Nicholls State. Barely pulled it out. Ended up winning 26-24. Not really impressed by them. They seem to not have their quarterback position figured out still. They end up making a quarterback change in that game. And I just think Florida looks really good so far. I watched a little bit of the game. I know they were playing Kentucky, who was supposed to be pretty good this year, but they've looked awful. Actually, they were up 28-3 or something in their first game and they ended up losing, and they've been outscored like 100 and over 100 points. They've only scored like 31 now. So yeah, not a good start for Kentucky, but Florida's really impressed me, and I think that they could be a real handful for anyone in the SEC, and that includes Alabama. As like I said, as long as they have some consistent quarterback play, they have the skill position players as good as anyone in the SEC, and their defense is always going to be right there in the top, more than likely. So, yeah, that's who I would pick right now.
All right. No, yeah, sounds good. That's hopefully, yeah, we can get a little bit of change from the SEC, at least as far as Alabama's dominance. But, all right, so I know you wanted to talk about Clemson. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, what was your upset?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Iowa State. Obviously, that didn't go well. Iowa basically took the fourth quarter off because they were up 42-3. So nobody scored in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, Iowa State's still bad.
Yeah, that's what happens when you pick teams that won two games last season, one.
Yeah, well, sometimes you also got to go big, and sometimes you pick against your team and your rookie quarterback and get it wrong.
All right, I'm picking Kansas next week. Just kidding.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, that would have been it. That would have been a good pick 2 weeks ago, but then Ohio came to town.
To upset Rhode Island, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anyway, no Kansas football talk. Clemson. They haven't looked great. Looks like they're kind of just moping through the season here, kind of coming off that championship. Seems to happen, like, to teams. And they're kind of reminding me of Ohio State the year after they won that national championship. But Clemson didn't win it. And I figured they'd come out a lot more than they were. But Deshaun Watson hasn't been great throughout the four quarters of a game yet. They did pull ahead late, but it was a close game for the most of the time, and of course the first week they had to pull out a 6-point victory. So I had picked them. Well, I know we didn't do picks, but I picked them to go back to the national championship this year, and kind of scared by that pick right now.
There definitely could be some sort of kind of championship hangover, I guess. Despite not winning it, they had, eight guys return on offense. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of expectations. You've got a Heisman front runner who's an incredibly talented football player. But, yeah, they're just not living up to expectations right now. I don't know if you saw his comments today, but Deshaun Watson basically said that, yeah, that it's all kind of getting to him a little bit. And, I mean, that's a pretty big thing to say. Hopefully it's not going to, you know, now that he's addressed it, maybe he can get back on track. But that's just, yeah, definitely doesn't sound good. Obviously, they know something's not right.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, there's no way you can't. They were obviously one of the best teams all year last year. We're blowing out the opponents they should blow out. They're not doing that
yeah,
so far
this
year.
And, I mean, they gave Alabama a game. It's not like, yeah, they went in and got rolled on, but.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson looked like a first overall pick, no doubt. I just think that, I don't know, they lost a lot of guys on defense, but the defense hasn't been the problem. It's been their offense. And, of course, you had the boneheaded play with Ray McLeod dropped the ball before the end zone. I don't know why that continues to happen.
Classic.
But it does. And
you get excited. You want to celebrate. I don't know why you have to drop the ball, but.
I don't know. I hope they get it turned around. And because I like Deshaun Watson and I like Clemson, and I hope they're able to get it together, but at this rate, they're not beating teams like Florida State. There's no way the way they've looked.
No, yeah, definitely not. I mean, and I don't know. There's definitely a lot of pressure now, or it seems to be more pressure. I mean, obviously, every game means a lot, or means everything in college football. You know, you can't really take a week off, with the playoff and so much scrutiny week in, week out, I mean, it's gotta be a grind. I guess if anything, Clemson is kind of getting a week off next week. They're playing South Carolina State. So, hopefully that'll be a good tune up and they can work their way back. They only dropped three spots in the polls.
Yeah. They went to number five. If they don't win big Saturday over South Carolina State, I think it'll be time to hit the panic button on them after 3 weeks. That's just not going to get it done. But
if you can't score on South Carolina State.
You're going to have problems. But, team that also looked good once again was Texas. I just wanted to talk about that real fast. I think Shane Buechele is going to have the job by the start of Big 12 play. I think Tyrone Swoops only played three snaps. He had one pass, two rushes on the game. Other than that, Shane Buechele was in there, hit over 60% of his passes, didn't turn it over, had a couple TDs. I know it was UTEP, but definitely encouraging signs to see him and the Texas football team come out after a big win and not have a scare or even an upset to UTEP.
If he's getting all the snaps, he should definitely go. He's played well enough. Give the kid a shot.
yeah, no doubt. I think Tyrone Swoops will come in more handy when they're playing big physical teams. And then you can really, really kind of wear him down with three guys in the backfield that weigh over 250 pounds. So,
definitely. And yeah, cause that's, I mean, his value's in the run game anyway, but yeah, definitely. Yeah. Use him when you can. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You said it perfect.
We started show off with this game, but I don't know if we're really gonna have too much time to talk about it here. But Oklahoma State kind of got screwed. Actually, Mike Gundy came out and said he wouldn't play a non-conference game at home without the Big 12 crew again. And I can't say as if I blame him. It was an incredible play to see. Should have never happened though. But Oklahoma State should have just punted and had their punter run around and lay down. It was 4 seconds.
Yeah. See, no, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It is definitely unfortunate, but yeah, why throw the ball? I mean, or at least why throw the ball where there's a chance of a penalty? Because just run around, wait for the clock to run out, fall down, whatever, just do whatever you can. but it's unfortunate that the rule was not enforced properly. It seems, you know, it's obviously it was the one situation where that could happen. It turned out that that's how it went down. So Central Michigan for the win.
Yeah, no doubt. And all right, I have a scenario for you. If Oklahoma State goes undefeated the rest of the year, don't think that'll happen. But if they do, committee look at this loss and count as a loss, or how do you think? What do you think they do here?
No, you can't go back and say that it's a win, even though, I mean, it, like, if they're going to give them the win, then they might as well change the official record to a win and take the touchdown away from Central Michigan. And since you're not going to take the touchdown away, you can't take the win away. I mean,
you don't take the win away, but do you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt there that.
You knock them for being tied with Central Michigan in the first place.
Right.
Or in the position to lose, whatever. Like, it's right, but I'm saying, yeah, you shouldn't be playing that, like Clemson. Clemson shouldn't be playing Troy that close. So, I mean, you do kind of got to knock them.
All right. Well, I don't know where I'm at. I don't think we'll have to worry about it, though, so... yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's get through our hot picks here. Kind of running out of time. Start off here. We have some good college football games this week. We have number 2 Florida State coming in 2-0. Of course, their quarterback Francois looked really good, and going up against number 10 Louisville is 2-0, and their quarterback has looked possibly even better. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go Florida State. I think they'll just be the better team.
Yeah, their safety that had surgery, James, I think that's going to be a big blow, and they need all they can to stop Lamar Jackson. But I think Florida State just has the better weapons, and I think it's going to be hard for Louisville to stop Florida State, but I expect a shootout. And I expect Lamar Jackson to keep his name right there in some Heisman talk. Oh, yeah. 13 TDs through two games, and he hasn't played the fourth or most of the fourth quarter in both games. So, not bad.
Wow. No, not at all. So, next? Or
next
you
we
pick?
Have I'm going Florida State.
Okay. Ohio State, Oklahoma?
Ohio State, Oklahoma.
All right.
I'm going Ohio State here.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's more talented, and I'll take Urban Meyer over Bob Stoops. All right, then next we got Alabama and Ole Miss. Who you got there? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you there?
I don't know what happened. kind of just talking here. Our other picks, though, were Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss. Then we had Packers, Vikings here. My upset this week is Auburn over Texas A&M, and I think that does it for this episode of Hot Takes. We'll refresh
what?
You
oh,
on the
hey.
Next week. Oh, hey,
can you
hey.
Hear me?
I don't know what happened. Yeah,
I couldn't
now
hear
I
you for a few minutes. I guess you couldn't hear me. I don't know what was going on. Oh well, I got Alabama and the Packers, and then Auburn over Texas A&M.
Yeah, Alabama. Wow, we picked the same exact picks all week. I have Auburn over A&M, Packers, Ohio State, Alabama, and Florida State.
So then we're both going 5-0. Sounds good.
Yep, 5-0. Here we come. All right. You took a one game advantage this week. You now have a 3-game advantage. You're 44-41. I'm 41-44. So